This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhardt, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound.
Chevalier, he'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
Turgeon Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores. Brett Hall, number 500.
Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans. Welcome to the Thursday morning edition of your Blues NHL podcast. I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer, in a half-empty studio. I had the opportunity to interview one of our comrades yesterday, Mr. Jamie Rivers, for today's show, and we'll hear from him shortly as he is out of town. Spending a little time with the daughter, which is always good, can be in studio. Darren Kimball, former Blues enforcer and winger. You got that going on at your house too, right? It's not all hockey. You got daughters and sons going down, right? I mean, I see you attending a lot of acting performances.
You know what? You have to, because me and Jamie, we've lived, hockey's been our life, and you have a boy, and he's got a couple of them that, you know, you spend a lot of time in, because that was your livelihood, so you try to pass it on to them. And but you can't ever forget about the, you know, I got a daughter at home, and he's got a couple of them there, and then you got to, they're a part of it too. So any chance I get, I like to go see my daughter, whatever she's doing, and, you know, keep you got to keep them all surrounded. So
I don't think there's any doubt that most people that listen to the show that are in that stage of life where they have children, and if they have a boy and a girl, would say that girls are, man, so much easier than boys. I have a daughter, and I got to tell you, she's an absolute pleasure compared to the knuckleheads I got running around doing whatever.
Isn't that the truth?
You know, so while as a man, I guess, and if you especially with the whole sports thing, you know, you kind of get engulfed in it, you know, and especially like guys like yourselves, if you're hockey guys, people are always looking to you for stuff like this, or hey, help us, or do this or do that. And you've given so much of your time. Jamie, he's made it his livelihood besides all the stuff he does just giving of himself.
Yeah.
You know, the bottom line is, I don't think you don't have much to offer probably in the acting field. And
no.
Your daughter's quite an actor.
Yeah.
Actress, I'm sorry.
And her mom and her aunt and her grandma, they're all involved in the theater department in Granite City. And so, I keep my nose clean on that one. So it's just, you get to go watch it, and I believe you me, you don't put your two cents in on that one when you're getting out beat by about three of them. So you just keep shut up and away you go.
You just show up and enjoy it. Huh?
Yes, you do.
It's nice. I go to tumbling or go to this or that, and I enjoy it. But when my daughter plays soccer, you know, she plays on a club team, but she just plays.
Yeah.
And people that know me are there, and I just sit there and I don't ever say a word. And you know me, I very rarely don't say a word. And they're like, I'm like, look, I'm just enjoying the hell out of this. Can I please just enjoy this?
Exactly.
I mean, she is so non-competitive. It's kind of nice, actually.
Yeah.
Well, what we don't want is for our Blues to be competitive. And it sure seems like since Mr. Schwartz has come back, things have turned around a little bit. I think this would be an example of great play doesn't always show up on the score sheet. Things get going in the right direction for the Blues here, and they're going to have to as we have a tough schedule coming up. We've got the second half of the season coming up. We've got a lot of games in small amount of days again. This is the weirdest schedule I've ever seen, the way the Blues schedule's worked out this year. Downtime and then just crunching games in.
Yeah.
But I haven't studied enough of the other teams to know if this is a league-wide issue or if it's just it worked out this way. When it comes to scheduling, people got to understand these buildings are used for more than hockey, so they get all this stuff and then they figure it out, and it is what
it
is.
And you got to figure, I'll talk the Blues because we're living here and this is what we're talking about. But you know, you just had the All-Star, so there's a 4 or 5 days off that you're going to miss in the schedule. And then they get that stupid-ass one-week rest period that they get now that is mandated into the thing. And so that can – so you're missing basically – you've taken 2 weeks out of the schedule. And, you know, they're lucky. They're lucky. Well, not lucky. I don't know how you look at it because the Olympics are coming up here, and obviously the NHL's not playing in it. But – if that was going to happen, holy smokes, boy, would you be playing a lot of hockey in a lot of short period of time.
Yeah, it's you know, it's interesting, and I understand to some degree what they're doing. I guess the 5 day break is something the players felt would be good for them, for their bodies. I don't know, but I don't know enough about it. I'll leave that to you guys because is it good or not?
I'll tell you what, I can simplify that for you real quick, Crooms.
Well, why don't you do that?
Why don't you ever get time? And you got lots of time. I was just in there visiting. You got lots of time to get on your computer. So go on there, bring up old school hockey and watch how it was played, how guys were getting hooked and all the competitiveness with what was going on.
Well, I've done that.
You know, those little guys. Just watch all that shit that's going on and how the game's played now. And back in the day, you didn't get that break in there. You just kept on rolling and rolling, and that and every was it was played. And I'll fight this with anybody. You know, it was you showed up. It was your livelihood that you were working on, but it was your dream as a kid to play hockey, and you never bitched about nothing. You didn't need time off. You put the skates on. You went out and you played hockey, and that was it. And this week's thing, it's just silly. It's just crazy. I don't know why they wanted it.
Listen, I would say all sports right now are going through a age of analytical change. If that's I made that up. I just took that term and tried to use it as a descriptive term for what's going
on. So that's okay.
Well, but my point is, and I think what most people would get from what I tried to say was, basically, there's no doubt a guy like yourself or even a Jamie or anybody, guys that played the game back in the day where they didn't have people standing over their shoulder with numbers all the time.
Yeah.
It's got to be hard to watch. And again, I mean this respectfully too, because I'm sure there are a tremendous amount of people involved in all sports that didn't play the game and have something to contribute. But I am having an issue with guys that never played the game dictating what's going down. I'm having a hard time believing that you can do this just by numbers with no understanding of it. And I could be wrong. I just have a hard time with it.
Here's what my problem is with everything that goes on. And all sports. I watch all sports. The way the sports were played, you tweak some things here like the hooking and that. I'll give you all that crap in hockey. You get to other sports, everything in this world is fine, but now you get people that come into it. It's just like politics. Politics becomes such a big thing in the sports world now, and it's almost like people need a brand that they can say, "Oh, I made this change in the sporting world. I made this." And like, don't just shut the hell up. Let things go on. And the world was running pretty good within the sports world. With all the, you know, people were loving sports. There's, you know, you tweak some things here and there, and you know, sooner or later, you know, you got, for example, and here's where I'm going to get outside of sports for a second. I'm watching in Canada here, they've changed a word in the national anthem. I go, God damn it, guys. When do we stop? When do you stop this stuff? And it's just the world was doing all right, and we're all getting in a big hurry, and we're starting to listen to people that don't need to be doing shit. And the sports world's getting that way too now. They want to change shit all the time, and just slow down and let it go.
Yeah, I don't want to turn this into a political show.
No, but we're not doing that.
We could go for days.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Days with all the stuff that.
Yeah, let's get on to the good stuff there.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff is Blues are playing better lately. You know, listen, we're not going to be able to have a conversation about the Blues playing well lately without talking about Carter Hutton.
Yeah.
I mean, and again, not you and Jamie and anybody that's backed Jake Allen has never had a bad word to say about Carter Hutton. All you guys have ever said is that at some juncture, you're going to need Jake Allen. This is getting tough on Jake Allen because I don't know. Jamie talked about it, and we're going to hear from him in a few minutes. Jamie talked about his career. And the style that, you know, like Jamie said, and you guys will hear from him, he was everything from a top four defenseman to the sixth, seventh defenseman, spending time in the press box. And, you know, he spent a lot of time in and out of the lineup, and you find yourself out of the lineup, and a guy gets a chance, and a guy plays well, and, man, then next thing you know, you're sitting for days.
Yeah.
And you're a good teammate. You're not sitting there hoping the guy plays bad so you can get back in there. I think the reality of sports is, and you tell me if I'm wrong, and almost to the point where, like, and I was saying, I had this conversation with my own kid about his own brand of sports, high school sports. you can't sit there and hope that somebody fails so that you can get a chance. But what sports has taught us all is there will come a time where you will get a chance. What you do with that chance is really up to you. Now, when you're a Jake Allen and you're a number one, you get a lot of rope.
Yep.
So, you know, if for some reason Carter Hutton is to falter at all Jake Allen's got to come back to do is play well, and he's right back to his status, and that's what he's afforded by being that guy.
Yeah, but if you look at what's going on here, and Jake Allen, I'm a big fan of his for what he did last year after he went through some shit and he got out of it and he won a series for the Blues, but he's getting all of a sudden with what is going on here. He's getting there's a lot of pressure that's going to come on to Jake Allen. Now he's getting more than he needs, and it's good pressure from the team wise. It's not good pressure for Jake Allen wise, because Hutton's come in and he has played fabulous, and the team has played well in front of him, so that's good. And the Blues, where Jake's getting a bad gig here is the playoffs are so tight right now. The Blues were sitting there 4 points out of last place, or are missing the playoffs. I mean, and they're only 5 points out of first. You know, it's such a tight little thing going on here. So, as a coach or a GM or whoever you want to make it, we'll say Yo's making the calls, and hopefully he is. He has to go with the hot goaltender. He can't be pissing away points right now. And so Jake's sitting there, and you always want a fair shake in this world, and that's what I've always said. You always want to be treated right. You want to be treated equal to the other person. And Jake's sitting there thinking, going, well, you know, maybe I can, if I could just get in there and I could get a chance, but the team needs points right now. And so the coach has to go with the hot goaltender. His time will come. It's going to come here. Hutton could keep this on a roll for a long time here right now, but you're going to get into a bunch of games where you're going to have to give the guy a break, you would think. But the standings are sort of dictating the play of the goaltender right now, because you have to go with the hot guy.
Yeah, it's a tough thing, because, you know, Mike Yeo, he's no dummy. We talked about it, and again, we're going to hear from Jamie in a minute, but there's got to be some communication, got to be good communication right now, wouldn't you imagine?
You would hope so.
You know, because, again, I don't know. I've never been in that locker room. You guys, you know, people now want to feel sorry for a guy when he doesn't get opportunities and stuff like that. Did anybody feel sorry for you when you were out of the lineup?
No. No, you create your own, and you know what? And what you said earlier, you know, and I was telling this to my kid the other night too. And I said, you know, Lawson, you're going to get, everybody gets a chance, and whatever you do with that chance is up to you. You know, it will come at some point in time, whether you're 15 years old, whether you're 25 years old, or whatever it is. At some point in time in your life, you're going to get an opportunity to walk through the door that you're trying to get through. And the door is either going to get opened up a little farther where you get to walk in, or it's going to get shut. And then you're going to have to take a new path. And that's just the way the sporting world works right now. And, you know, that's where we're at with it.
You know, obviously Jamie is involved in a lot of stuff over there. So he gets, you know, little back end information and stuff and makes educated guesses. So we're going to hear from him on some of his thoughts and some of the rumors that are going around. I'm going to put you on the hot seat here in a second as the Blues GM, and I want to know what Darren Kimball would do for this club before we head into the playoffs. Before we do that, though, I want to remind everybody to check us out at bluesnhlpodcast.com. That's our website. You can listen to the show through there. You can do your shopping through Amazon there as well. Help us with our production costs here. Doesn't cost you anything. You just click the Amazon banner, do your shopping. We get a very small referral. We'd appreciate it. Main thing you can do at our website, though, is subscribe to the podcast. It's absolutely free, and you'll get a notification every time we drop the new show. Find us on Twitter. Really enjoy it very much. At NHL Show, at STL Blues Podcast. Those are our two Twitter handles. Facebook, that's our big ask. Type in Blues NHL Podcast, like our Facebook page, click invite your friends, and then invite all your friends that are Blues fans. We'd love to have them be a part of our Blues community at Blues NHL Podcast. Blues NHL Podcast Show on Instagram as well. Lineupmedia.fm. We do the show here from their wonderful studios. We appreciate everything they do, especially our producers, Brian Kroc, Andrew Allen. They do all the behind-the-scenes work. But Lineupmedia.fm, folks, it's the fastest-growing podcast company on the planet. You definitely are going to want to check them out, as, again, I promise you, they have all types of shows for all types of interests. They take your entertainment time very seriously. They are dropping the new internet station, Yo Radio. Just type it in, check it out. I think you'll find some great shows on there as well. Want to throw a shout out to the innovated companies and everything they do for us. Had a chance to talk to Randy Green the other day, Darren. Very happy with the way things are going. He's had some people reach out to him through the show. Guys, really great people over there. They deserve an opportunity for your business. They've put their companies under one umbrella. You'll find them at innovativecompanies.com, whether it's construction, heating and cooling, or electric. Everything you may need under one roof. 35 years experience, second generation craftsman, and a man that takes it very serious. His word is gold, folks. If he tells you he's going to do something, he does it, and that's very rare today. And that's sad. I mean, Darren, I don't know about you, but it's the saddest thing I've ever seen is that when you have to say to somebody, if he tells you he's going to do something, he's going to do it, is a quality anymore, whereas that used to be the standard. So Randy's a man of honor, and you guys want to check him out. And again, his daughter keeps him in line. Let's just say that he's got Stephanie there to keep him in line. He knew what he was doing there. We talked about having daughters and how good they are to you. He made a good choice there for sure. But yeah, give them an opportunity, guys. As we go on the bench with Butter here, Tommy Brown, Tax Resolutions by TommyBrown.com. You heard Butter on Monday talk about changing and revamping his tax site. So you guys will want to get a hold of him. It's tax season, and Darren, I know you. You better get a hold of him. I can tell you that. I'm going to put you on the bench here, Kimby. You're the GM. You've had a look at this team. You're definitely not a rosy. I'm not. You're not going to color the glass rosy if it shouldn't be colored rosy. You've called them to task at times. Been quicker than most to not give it to them. What are you going to do?
Well, I'll tell you what. You just look at the last five games they played, and you had Arizona who come in here and laid a licking on them. They played good against Colorado. They had Colorado come in on a hot streak. They showed up. They played well against them. Canadians are a team that's going down. There's not much there. So we're going to get in. I want to see this team when they get in. Like, they're going to go into Boston tonight, who's been playing well. But Boston, they got guys hurt right now. So this is an opportune time for the Blues to walk into a building and win a hockey game tonight. We got guys hurt, and we'll talk about that in a second. But So I'm still not complete on, so Schwartz comes back, which obviously makes you a better hockey team. It's everyone's lying and dying on this thing here. So I've always said that there has to be, like, what Upshaw's probably be your biggest guy that's going to go in there and cause a little ruckus on that. I'd like to see a guy that can get up to the third line and do that and put the puck in the net. I wish they had that in their lineup just to get the crowd going, get the place jumping around there. I don't see that as much anymore. And everyone's talking about a top six forward, which Jamie was doing earlier, and I agree with them. If there's a guy there that can control the front of the net, man the front of the net, own the corners, do his job there to get the puck to the Tarasenko and these guys so they can put it in the net, that would be a big bonus for this team. I still think they're a defense. I know Jamie's strong in the defenseman and he played the spot, but I don't think we're there yet. I think we need a defenseman, and that's just me. I think if we could find a top four defenseman out there, I'd take it in a heartbeat. And you might think I'm crazy on that one, but I look at what we got here, and I'm sold on a couple of them. There's one I'm not sold on, and I think they need one. And then the goaltending situation. You're obviously proving that Hutton, what he's doing here, is huge for you down the road, knowing you can rely on him. Jake will have a say in how that goes. So there's a lot of shit going on with their team right now. But I want to see him up against some good competition. And that's what I was hoping the Bruins were going to be at a healthy spot here tonight, because that would have give you a good gauge going into a place and seeing what they look like. They're banged up. Charlie McAvoy, remember that? Where does that name come from?
Yeah.
A tin cup, isn't it?
Yeah.
So anyway, but he's hurt. He's got a little medical problem going on. So I hope
it's Roy, but yeah.
Yeah. I know with Charlie. But I like... he's got problems going on. They got a suspension of Marchand. So Backus got banged up a little bit. So they're running on the injury list, Boston is right now. So they're not at full strength. But I like to see, I like to see him play like a Tampa Bay Lightning. See where we're at. See what this team's at. And I think that gives Army a fully he can decide what he needs on the team. Because you need to play the best Nashville's and these guys. You need to play them right now to find out if I need to go make that move or if I'm sitting pretty good. And so hopefully we can get into a game or two like that. That'll make me a little bit easier if we're going to go with this lineup and see what happens.
Let's take a little break here. Let's hear from Jamie, and then when we come back, he's going to mention a few things, and I'm going to get your thoughts on them. Sound good?
Okay.
All right. From SynergyHockeySkills.com, and of course our friends NelsonLandServices.com. Check them out. NelsonLandServices.com. The Nelson family, so synonymous with amateur hockey in St. Louis. They've done so much for that community and just a big part of it. They're an example of what a family should be in the amateur community. They got a great mindset for it. They're giving of their time and energy and effort, and really just a supportive group. Good friends of both yours and Jamie's. And again, I think I mentioned to you before the show that I had an opportunity to actually talk to Scott yesterday for 30 minutes. What a tremendous human being. And again, they deserve an opportunity for your business, folks. They've asked us to help them get their name out here in St. Louis. They do so much work down at the Lake of the Ozark area, down at Osage Beach and that area there. You've probably seen their handiwork at some of those beautiful homes. But as they move into the St. Louis area here, give them an opportunity for your business. NelsonLandServices.com. Let's hear from the man, the myth, the legend, Jamie Rivers. And when we come back, I'm going to have Darren Kimball talk a little bit about some of Jamie's comments. Well, as we occasionally get to do, we get to utilize this celebrity line here, and I'm going to use the term celebrity loosely, but let's go ahead as you hear that familiar music and welcome in the man, the myth, the legend, Jamie Rivers. What's going on, pal?
Hey, buddy. How you doing today?
Well, we appreciate you going a day early. I know you're heading out of town for some stuff. As you're, like I always say, you're the busiest man in show business around town here, so wanted to have you on. Lots happening. We had a nice win last night from our Blues as we come out of the All-Star break. As things are trending in a better direction for us lately, I want to get your breakdown on that. Obviously, you've been getting the fans going with your innovative heating and cooling and innovative electric segments with Hot Stove. So maybe you got some you could address some of these rumors that are going around and just get your overall general thoughts as we move into the second half of the season. So let's start with last night. Blues come out. I think a lot of fans, just like us at the very beginning, were kind of questioning, you know, what would they do in goal? Fans, you know, are on both sides of the aisle. I don't know that anybody's, like, ready to jump off a bridge over anything, because the bottom line is Hutton's been winning. A lot of people believe, just as you and Darren do, that at some juncture you got to go back to Jake. But, man, the wins keep piling up and the saves keep piling up. First off, I'm assuming you were not surprised that Hutton started out of the break, and where do you see us going from here with that?
Well, yeah, no, I wasn't surprised at all, because some of those games can be very tricky coming back out of the break, and you certainly don't want to risk maybe putting, you know, someone in who hasn't played in a while, and then certainly, you know, the way the Blues played in the first period is exactly what you're most afraid of, is where you come out kind of flat or not as good as you can be. And they, you know, they took them almost the entire period to get a shot on goal, which is out of character. And like Coach Mike Yeo said, it's not like they weren't being encouraged to shoot. They were just picking other plays, which is not always the best decision. So, you know, all that combined with the fact that Carter Hutton was able to make big saves and keep them in the game, you know, looks like obviously it was the right move again.
You know, fans are sitting here going, holy cow. Even the ones that, you know, are like, man, we're not like down on Jake, but what do you do here? I mean, this is a tough gig, especially for a coach, because the coach isn't dumb. He knows he's got his number one guy sitting over there and might be getting buried. I'm sure communication in something like this is key.
Well, yeah, and look, here's the deal. You know, we've talked about this so many times now, but there's no rule in the NHL that says you're not allowed to take your so-called number one goalie and play him as the number two goalie. And there's no rule that says you're not allowed to take your backup goalie and let him assume number one responsibilities. There's no rule for that. So all I'm saying with that is, what's the big deal if Jake Allen ends up being the backup goalie for the rest of the season because Carter Hutton is playing so damn good that he gets the lion's share of the starts? I mean, it's no different than when Jake was number one and Carter Hutton had to wait for his turn. It is what it is. And then I'll tell you what, the world of hockey, it finds a way to balance itself out. There will be a stretch or a period of time where Jake will get in, Jake will play well, Mike Yeo will say, hey, he's hot, we're going to ride Jake for a little bit. I mean, just look back a couple of years ago when we had the Brian Elliott, Jake Allen controversy, I'll call it. It seemed like whoever got in the net never wanted to give it back to the other guy. And that was a great problem to have. They were two elite goalies in the NHL, and I don't think anybody gave a crap about who was starting as long as they were playing well and we were winning hockey games.
Yeah, I mean, I would say now,
You know, you kind of get to a point where it doesn't really matter. I mean, the wins have to pile up. We know what division we're in. See, that's the other thing, too. You think about the hot start, and then we go through the stretch, and, you know, and now we're jockeying for position for the playoffs, which will obviously be, you know, played out here over the second half of the season. You know, we haven't seen Schwartzy show up on the score sheet, really, but what are you seeing out of his game that's adding to the turnaround here from the Blues' overall play?
Well, what we've talked about before is what I'm seeing, which is he makes the lineup deeper, therefore tougher to defend. And other guys are chipping in now. They're able to score goals. The lines are balanced. It's not like we have to load up one line and hope to God that they score goals enough to beat the other team. Now we have a pretty balanced forward group. We have guys that are chipping in from everywhere, and it's because we're spreading out the defensive coverage, where they can't just load up with their five best coverage guys and play them against, you know, Jaden Schwartz or Vladdy Tarasenko or Braden Schenn. So I love what he's bringing to the table. Like I said, the points will come for him. He's too good of a player, so that I'm not worried about. But what he's bringing in with energy and puck pursuit and certainly pulling coverage away from teammates, that's huge right now. And other guys are scoring, and that's what we need.
You know, another thing that I've been watching is some of the players that have been getting some guys that players or that fans and maybe even some media members have been a little harsh on lately. Steen's overall game seems to have improved. Stasny's not really showing up on the score sheet as much, but I'm curious your thoughts on his game.
Well, look, I'm really glad you asked that question, because everybody likes to harp about, well, Alexander Steen got another empty net goal. Well, no shit. And guess what? It's because he's trusted to be on the ice when the other team pulls their goalie. And so is Paul Stasny. You look at the end of the game last night, who's on the ice? 26. Who's on the ice? 20. Who's on the ice? 28. Like, these are guys that you're trusting, and that's why they're out there. So, yeah, for Steen, he's scoring some empty net goals. I don't care. One, he's icing the game, which we'll take any day of the week. Two, he's out there in a really important role, and if he's scoring goals, it means we're winning that battle. So I'm going to keep playing him there. And the other two guys, Brodziak and Stasny, I mean, those guys are just reliable. So to me, the game, as I've said before, the game itself tells a different story than the score sheet sometimes. I understand there's salaries involved and there's all this stuff, but when you really are going for wins and losses, or wins rather than losses, you see who the guys are that play, who gets the ball in the last play of the game, right? And Stasny's out there. Steen's out there. Like, these guys are go-to guys.
The other guy, I guess, that you brought up that I was curious about that I didn't think about until I was actually watching the game last night and it came up. Actually, it was when I was driving somewhere and listening at that juncture, and it was that Brodziak's a free agent after this year. Is that going to be a tough call for the Blues? Because he's been awful steady.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough call. You know, here's the thing with a guy that's his age, who's been in the league as long as he has, it's not easy to go elsewhere. I can speak from experience on that, because right now we know in St. Louis, and Mike Yeo knows, what kind of value Kyle Brodziak brings to the table. Not every team in the league realizes that. So if you risk it and get out there on the open market, just like Scotty Upshaw last summer, he went out there and thought, well, you know, I do a great job. The Blues love me. I'm great at what I do. Nobody gave him a contract. Not one person offered him a contract. He got a tryout offer. So if I'm Kyle Brodziak, I'm telling my agent, I don't really care what the money is. I just want to be a St. Louis Blue. And, you know, I had a very similar situation when I was in Detroit. And this is why I speak from experience, is I played 1 year in Detroit, and I think I was making league minimum at the time, which was like $275. And, you know, $1 million off the next guy on that lineup. But my point is, I went to Kenny Holland at the end of my season and said, Kenny, I don't really care about what you offer me for money. I just want to be a Detroit Red Wing. And you know what? We had a deal done before the end of the day for two-year extension. GMs want to know that players want to be a part of their team. They want to know that they want to be a part of the future and that they're willing to forgo a few dollars here and there as role players, because they're not going to go get tens of millions of dollars as role players. And I think that you'll see Kyle Brodziak here for another year or two based on the fact that he goes in there and accepts maybe the same salary or a little bit less just to stay a part of it and continue to get the minutes that he gets.
Well, and you kind of answered my follow-up question. So Jamie Rivers endorses Kyle Brodziak being here another year, possibly two.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how can you not? This guy does, you know, everything you ask of him. And just if we want to stay right in the very current past, who's the guy laid out last night blocking a shot with 7 seconds left in the game? Kyle Brodziak. And guess what? He's on the ice with the other goalie, with the other team's goalie pulled. So that tells me that, one, he's trusted, the ultimate trust from the coach to be out there, and then he's willing to have the ultimate sacrifice, which is to lay in front of a shot to win a hockey game for his team. So, yeah, I endorse it 100%.
Last player I want to touch on before we move on to something else is, you know, I've noticed, and I want to say earlier, too, I was really more talking about Steen's overall game. He seems to have been a little grittier lately, seems to have been in some of the tight, some of the rough places to go, things of that. But same thing with Sobotka. I mean, we're not getting I don't know that we're getting all the toughness he has out of him, but his game seems to have turned around the last few games here. Have you noticed that, or is that an or am I seeing things?
No, I think it's turned around a little bit. I think that, quite honestly, anything from where it was for a while is an improvement. I think he has so much more to give, I really do. I think that he's got more effort in there that he's either unaware that he can give or that he's just simply not giving. And, you know, last night, it's a 3-0 game. Puck comes to him in front of the net. He tries to make a play, and he tries to shoot for the open net at the other end of the ice. People can watch that 1,000 times. And I can tell you what, the simple play, the real play at that point is you get that puck, you know your goalie's out of the net, you're hammering that thing towards the boards as hard as you can. You're not trying to stick handle and shoot for the other end of the ice. And so, to me, that's a problem. To me, that tells me a little bit of where his focus is at. I know you're up 3-0, and it's really, oh, what's the big deal? But the big deal is you have a goalie who battled his ass off to hopefully get a shutout, and he's, you know, a minute away from it, and now we're thinking about shooting for empty nets rather than clearing the puck hard, taking an icing, doing whatever it takes. So that, to me, raises a big question mark. And although he's been a little bit better lately, that play alone tells me he may not be fully invested yet in what's going on here.
That's interesting. That's why we appreciate a guy like you on there. I thought the same thing. It's 3-0, get it out, you know, and if it goes in, it goes in. If not, you're not. So, yeah, that's an interesting thing that I don't know that most of us would think about from a what's the right play perspective in that versus – you know, what you think is a no-brainer. So, no, that's an interesting take. As we look at the innovative construction part of this whole team and as the team is constructed as we speak, I don't think there's any doubt that we're at that time of year where trade rumors are going around. We've dealt with them here at Blues NHL just as everybody has with, like, the Carey Price things that won't go away. We had a listener use last night's game as an example to your defense of saying, I'm not real sure, and I'll butcher his name. I'm going to sound like Kimby here. Pacioretty, did I say that right?
Pacioretty.
You had kind of said, I had to do the Kimble thing since he's not with us today, but we'll be tomorrow. So Pacioretty, you have said, you know, that you just don't see him being that guy. Last night, somebody said, just watch him tonight. That's an example of why we don't want to give up a bunch of stuff for this guy. But there's other rumors that are out there as well. And in our hot stove, as we do our, like I said, our heating and cooling segment here from Innovated, and we work on that Innovated construction of our lineup, there's some rumors out there. There's guys I just read, and you know I'm a big honk on this guy, so you know when I saw this I had to click on it. But Jeremy Rutherford, who, you know, he follows the team, says that over the All-Star break when he was there, that there's rumblings the Blues are checking in on Tavares, which, you know, I love, and I know you guys have said that you just don't see it. But There's other guys that we're linked to, some things that are still going on. What do you have for us on Hot Stove today?
Well, you know, I think the biggest, biggest event that has happened in the NHL here over the All-Star break is that the New York Rangers have basically declared that they're sellers, that they, you know, they're a playoff-bound team. However, they're not a championship-bound team the way they're married to certain players and how long they've held on to guys. And, you know, they've just done a real good job of being good but never being great. And I think that they're looking to build for the future to try and get something special there. So all that long-winded answer is that all those guys are in play. The McDonoughs of the world, the Rick Nashes, the Zuccarellos, you know, these guys here, they're available. And, you know, I little birdie kind of hinted to me that the Blues have been kicking the tires on Rick Nash. And he carries a huge cap hit. However, you won't bear the whole cap hit because there's only a quarter of the season left by the time he gets to your team. And I imagine the Rangers would eat some of that as well to get him to get the right trade done. So, you know, Rick Nash, a big-time scorer in this league at times, still pretty consistent 20-goal scorer, a huge body with a lot of speed. He could be that top six forward that the Blues are really coveting at this point. And, you know, I think that the Rangers are asking a lot right now for their players. You know, rumors have it that they're asking for two blue-chip prospects plus a first-round pick, or a top six roster guy coming back with a blue chip prospect and a top round pick. So we'll see if they budge off of that asking price, which I imagine they will, but certainly they're pushing, they're looking to hit a home run on that trade.
You know, as a fan, we all know Rick Nash has got some history here in St. Louis. TJ Oshie used to like to give it to Rick Nash pretty good. But I also, as a hockey fan, I think we all believe that Rick Nash is an awful good hockey player. But is he – I mean, I'm just going to throw this perspective out there to Jamie Rivers. And, you know, I look at Rick Nash, and he's a free agent after this season. You know, he's 32, 33. I know that's not, like, old in hockey terms. He's probably still got 3 to 4 solid years left, I would think. But, I mean, I don't know. Does GM Rivers give up the farm for Rick Nash right now?
Well, you know, that's why I said the asking price is too high right now, as far as I'm concerned. But I certainly think he's a guy that takes us to the next level. He really is. You know, he's a guy that could certainly put the Blues into a Western Conference championship if he comes and plays the right way. So now it's tough because you get nothing in return after this season. So that's something you have to think about when you're dealing your prospects and draft picks is, are you really perfectly set up to make a Stanley Cup run? Are you really perfectly set up for a rental player? You know, I'm not sure. This would beg, you know, to ask now, does a guy like Mike Hoffman make more sense out of Ottawa, which that's not dead either yet. And I know that they've been scouting a lot of Blues games and that they've been heavily involved in scouting some of the guys who are in the minors that are great prospects. They've been scouting players in junior leagues that are great prospects. And they've also been inquiring, and think of it as you want, they've been inquiring about medical records for certain players that may be injured right now that are still considered, you know, really top prospects for the future. So that deal is still out there, and personally, I like that deal better just because I think you're getting a better overall player, and I think you can get him at a manageable price.
Yeah, you've liked Hoffman since that rumor kind of started, so, you know, I think we know where you're at it. Would Nash be the kind of guy that you think would be a good fit to play? Like, you know, everybody, we all, the 91 always comes up when we start talking about centers. Would Nash be a good center for Rick, for Vladdy?
You know, I don't know if Nash ends up at center or not. He's proven to be a better scorer on the wing. But, you know, it certainly would be interesting to see someone like a Stastny centering Nash and Tarasenko to where, you know, Staz just gets to be the dishing magician and pass it left or right with a big body down one side with quickness, and then one of the world's greatest talents right now, Tarasenko, on the other side. So yeah, that packs an awful lot of punch. And then if you want to observe a second line, so to say, you're looking at Schwartz, Shen, and maybe a Steiner. And, you know, and then you move on from there. And it's amazing how that lineup then condenses and all four lines look a lot better very, very quickly.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of curious. I mean, I know he's playing wing now, but I know he's played, you know, obviously a lot of center. And that big body, I mean, you just wonder, I mean, you know, if it matters as much. And we talk a lot about, you know, sometimes we don't see guys in front of the net and things like this. You know, he's an intriguing player, and to your point, I would be curious what, you know, obviously you're going to be more in tune with what they really would ask for, but what they get, I think, are two totally different things. That one will be interesting to see how it plays out. But I would say we'll finish our hot stove before we let you go with this. You know, we keep saying that the Carey Price rumors won't die. Are they all but dead as far as you're concerned?
I don't see any reason in any scenario at all, especially now with Carter Hutton playing so well. I just don't see the need for bringing in a $10.5 million player. You know, if you're looking to build your future and looking to go for, I just think that that's, personally, I think it's too much money to spend on a player that, you know, right now he's not the best goalie in the league. And you've got two goalies still that are playing well, and you still have 3 years left in Jake Allen, and I don't see the Canadians, you know, taking Jake Allen back in return, if that's the way you want to go with it. So, you know, I'm going to say that one is so far out in left field that it doesn't happen.
Well, we appreciate your candid response. It sounds to me like that is what it is. But again, you know, there's no doubt that you guys have been in Jake Allen's corner this whole time. Not that he needs you to be in his corner, but the reality is at the end of the day, you know, we're looking – a lot of times fans look at the right now and teams or and players that play at that level are taxed with the whole season. I think you guys are of the belief that at some juncture during this season, this team is going to need Jake Allen. And, you know, that's why you have to handle this thing correctly. And, hey, frankly, that's why guys like Doug Armstrong and Mike Yeo and Al MacInnis and the boys, that's why they're in those positions that they are, so that, you know, they can handle these things the right way. Because I don't know that anybody is ready to kick Jake Allen to the curb. But, you know, as a fan, it's really hard to deny what Carter Hutton has done for this team.
Yeah, I totally agree, and that's why I said earlier that there's really I don't think we need to tax ourselves as a fan base about, oh, well, you know, what do we do? It's taking care of itself right now. Carter Hutton's playing great. Jake Allen is still on the roster. He will play great for us again at some point. So that's all there is to it. I mean, there's really no more thought that needs to go in it at this point.
You know, I guarantee it. One, before I let you go, I got to ask you this as a player. At one time or another in your life, I mean, you had a nice long career, but admittedly played with different teams. And the truth is, you had to have at some juncture been out of the lineup because another guy that probably wasn't as good as you was just playing well at the moment. I mean, how do you handle that as a player? I can't imagine that Jake's like, I mean, I guess some players would be pouting and acting like this is a bunch of shit, but at the end of the day, hockey players strike me as a little bit different, more like, you know, hey, look, this guy's playing really well right now. I got to stay ready and focused and ready to go. Are we to believe there's anything different going on from Jake Allen here?
No, look, here's the deal, and you're right. I have been in that position several times because I was, you know, anything from a top four defenseman to a 6-7 defenseman on different teams. And when you're in another lineup, sometimes it's just inevitable that you sit there and you're like, God damn, the guy they put in to play one game played unbelievable, had a goal or had two assists, and now he's going to play. And he gets on a run for 3, 4, 5 games, and you're sitting there eating popcorn because your teammate is playing well. And it's tough mentally because you sit there and you want your team to do well because ultimately that's how we're wired, to be good team guys. However, like, you're seeing that personally, like, it sucks right now because somebody else is taking your job and doing really well. And the NHL is a difficult league that once you get put on the outside, you might just never get back in. So So there's a big struggle that goes on internally with that. And ultimately what I learned over the course of my career, and hopefully Jake has already picked it up and maybe he has, is you can only control when your skates touch the ice. And I know, because otherwise you drive yourself crazy about, well, coach isn't playing me, I'm not playing in the right role, I'm not playing with the right partner, blah, 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 blah. At the end of the day, all that matters is how good and how hard can you play when your skates touch the ice. And so knowing that and learning that turned me into a much better role player towards the end of my career, because I knew that everything else was out of my control. So hopefully Jake is looking at it going, this is completely out of my control. I can't stop pucks if they don't put me in the net. So at the end of the day, I have to be ready to stop pucks when they put me in there. And if I do that, I'll get to play again. And yeah, as simple as that sounds, that's kind of where you have to go with it, or you will go a little bit crazy.
Yeah, I mean, really, at the end of the day, there's only two other alternatives. Like you said, either you can drive yourself crazy, or, you know, you can be that teammate that we all know, I would say, 99% of the guys to be. But, you know, I guess as a fan, you sit there and wonder, too, because, man, it seems like human nature to sit there and go, are any of these guys, and this is every sport, this isn't just hockey. I mean, anytime this happens to you, you know, is the guy really sitting there going, man, I hope he plays awful today so I can get back in there? I mean, that is an awful thing to think. But at the end of the day, man, that's the reality of sports at the highest level, really. And then, you know what, it's that way all the way down to Little League. I mean, it's the truth. That's the way it is.
Let's be honest. It's that way all across corporate America, okay? Take sports out of it, and if somebody else steps in and does your job, or is in risk of taking your job, sometimes you don't necessarily want them to perform the best that they possibly can. And in sports, it's tough because there's money that's involved. There's families that need to eat. You have a very short window to try and provide for your family and set up a retirement of some kind, or at least give yourself a fighting chance. So it's very, very difficult to sit there and cheer with your pom-poms while you watch somebody who plays your exact position outplaying you or getting a chance to play. So it's tough. You really have to kind of build up a real thick core, and you just got to make sure that, like I said, when you get to play, you play hard and you play well, and then you make it hard on the coaches.
Yeah, I briefly had this conversation with my son last year, and you know, I told him, I said, you know, you're a starter now, but if you ever find yourself not, what I can tell you is you know, you don't have to root for the other guy to fail. The substance of sports is that the game is so hard that sooner or later it all comes a circle. It really does. And if it doesn't, then you really just got to keep working on your own game, but then you just got to become a supporter of the guy that took advantage of the situation. Otherwise, now you're a bad teammate, and you don't want that either. So it can't be easy, that's for sure, especially for guys that have been number ones their whole life and sit there and watch a guy. But again, I'd like to believe that Jake Allen is like, look, man, I got my own problems, but at the end of the day, I love Carter, and he's helping us win right now, so I'm a big fan. You know, you'd hope that's the thing, and I have no reason to believe it's not. And if you're telling me it's not, then, you know, I think we as fans can feel good about Jake's future and the fact that sooner or later he's going to get his chance.
I would imagine that it's coming very quickly. Mike Yeo, out of character, kind of slipped up the other day and said that Jake will start in Boston or Buffalo, because he usually doesn't name his starters until day of the game, with the media anyways. So, you know what, I think you'll see him, you might even just see him the next game. And then, like we just talked about, it'll be up to Jake Allen to make sure he's making saves and giving his team a chance to win and make it difficult on the coaches.
Well, hey, we appreciate you very much. I know you've got a lot of stuff going on. Big doings with Synergy Hockey Skills right now, though. I know you've been tweeting a lot about a student, a guy that you've done a lot of stuff with. One of the other Kachucks is moving up the ranks here. You have anything for us on how things are going for him right now?
Doing great. You know, his World Junior Championship did wonders for his rankings, his overall rankings for the draft that's coming up. He, you know, he was kind of hovering around somewhere around the 10 mark. And now since the World Juniors, he's second in some reports and third in others. So he's right in the thick of things. I think that you'll see, depending on what team ends up where, he could go as high as 2, but I don't think you'll see him go lower than 3 or 4. So he's working real hard, doing a great job, and once again, representing St. Louis in a great way.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you this, even though you're on the air, and I hate complimenting you when you're on the air, but, you know, some of the guys that we have in here from time to time when you're not around that are around the Synergy Hockey stuff that you do, you know, they hear you talk about these guys on here, and they're always quick to remind me and anybody else that'll listen that they've seen you on the ice with just the everyday average kid, and the attention that you pay him and the praise that you give them is no different than you do a Brady Tkachuk. So, you know, again, for all of our listeners out there, it doesn't matter at what skill level your son or daughter are at right now. Synergy Hockey skills will help them enhance their game, not just on the ice, but, you know, the confidence level, who they are, their ability to take instruct, just all the life lessons that you hope to achieve through sports. You're doing an unbelievable job with that, Jamie. I am assured by the people that are watching you and seeing what you're doing. So we appreciate you very much and everything you do for youth hockey here. Of course, your friends and Kimby's friends, NelsonsLandServices.com, believe in both of you guys and everything you've done for their kids so much that they want their name out and associated with you guys through the show. So we encourage everybody to check out NelsonLandServices.com. You know, professional landscaping at reasonable prices. They are your 5-star locally rated company. And of course, the Nelson family, I would say, if we put them on air here, would say they owe a whole lot to Jamie Rivers and Synergy Hockey skills. So thanks for everything you do, my friend.
My pleasure. I love doing it. So it's my pleasure.
Well, we're going to let you go, and we're going to hear from your friend and see what he's got to say about your comments tomorrow on the regular big show. Hopefully, you know, a week apart for you two. Because, man, I thought you two were going at it, but you guys will get a week apart, and we'll let it go. Sounds good to me.
You'll figure out soon enough that I'm always right. No big deal.
I know he will, as I have. See, I came to that realization a long time ago, so, you know, you see how it goes. So, all right, my friend. Hey, you have a great trip with your daughter. I think it's great that you're doing a little daughter time this weekend, and good luck to her as she does her final competition there, and good luck to you and your family, and we'll see you next week.
All right, thanks, Chrome. Take care, buddy.
That is Jamie Rivers, and of course, as we often get to do with him on our celebrity line, he's the only celebrity that will join us on that line. It's great to hear from him, even if he can't be here on Thursday. Great stuff, as always, from Mr. Rivers, and again, I appreciate him coming on a day early like that, and it is important to spend time with family, and you know, you guys don't get a lot of it, so you got to take it when you can. So I appreciate him. Let's talk about his comments, though. No doubt about it, the trade rumors are flowing. They're hot and heavy. You heard from him. He doesn't see any way this Carey Price stuff is, you know, even though it seems like it won't go away, I think the only reason it's not going away is because he's such a big name. It's such a big deal. But at the end of the day, I think it's far from what if the Blues were going to make one big move, I just don't see that being the one. That doesn't make any sense to me. I know it doesn't make any sense to you.
No, you got to, and you're at a point here. If you're going to look for the big $10 million guy that's out there, the big signing that you're going to go and make, it's hard right now because I'm sure Army has to look into the future and what's going on and where's all, because you don't sell the farm and then all of a sudden this guy's here for a month and then he's gone. So you got to make sure if you're going to go make a trade that if you're going to especially give up the younger draft picks that we've had and if you're going to go get a guy, who knows what it's going to cost you, but you don't just do that and then there's nothing in the cupboard when you come back next year. So if you're going to go get a guy, you're going to have to find a way, and I'm sure that Army's, if he's dealing with anyone, and that's he wants to know what their numbers are going to be for the following years. And so he's got to play it all on the lay it all on the table. And a $10 million guy, that takes up a lot of spot. And it's just, I don't see the Blues doing that.
You know, you heard, you know, you guys kind of touched a little bit last week on Pacioretty. Pacioretty. Pacioretty, whatever it is. I did my
Pacioretty.
Best. Well, I called him Pacarot. I don't know what I called him. Actually, I did my best Kimball impersonation.
Why do
with
I get
Jamie
blamed
yesterday.
For that?
That's your boy. He loves to give you that business.
Yeah, I know.
I just fed right into it yesterday.
So good when the ass ain't here and then you start going on, see?
But the bottom line was you didn't see anything out of his game the other night to change your mind that he'd be a good fit, did you?
Well, no, but you know what? He's put up good numbers here, but I'm saying that's not the guy they need. That's not – they've got that here. They've got those guys here. So You're looking for something, and I said it earlier. You're looking for someone to run the front of the nets here, get in the corners. And I'm not being a mucking type guy, like a guy that can put the puck in the net too. So he's going to take the front of the net. He's going to run the power play, cause a lot of commotion, but that's what they're looking for, I would think. I don't know what they're. I'm just telling you what I would do.
Well, you're the GM, remember? Yeah. I put you on the hot seat. So
that's what I'm doing.
So if you're the GM and these guys are out here, let's talk about the two guys that kind of have piqued Jamie's interest based off. You know, just things that are being rumored around. And, you know, he likes Hoffman a lot, the winger. And I think part of the reason liking Hoffman is I think he adds that element, and he's signed.
Yeah.
Now, the other guy that there's rumors floating around, and they're not really rumors. I think the Rangers came right out and said, look, we're ready to make some changes.
They might sell
here.
The whole farm here pretty soon.
You know, and Rick Nash is an interesting name. And I mentioned him to Jamie, and he's a familiar name here. Mr. Oshie and Nash used to go at it pretty good when they were here. And I think it's like a lot of things. I think you can appreciate a guy even though at one time you may not have liked him. Is Rick Nash the kind of guy that you think would be that guy? I mean, he's a big body. He's played at times in his career. He's been fantastic. Now he is getting a little long in the tooth. He's not completely done yet. But he is an unrestricted free agent. He's an expensive player. But he is a big body. As Jamie mentioned, he can play center, but he's had more success out on the wing. Does that interest you at all? But like I said, when you and I off the air were talking, you threw out another name that you'd rather have than Nash and makes, I don't know, what, a sixth of the money?
Yeah. So if you take Nash and you're thinking, so you're renting a player because you're not keeping him for the future. He's rented. He's not going to be here long term.
Do we know that?
I'll guarantee you that's going to happen because you're not going to take a guy that's played 15, 16 years and you're going to want it. He's going to want money, and you're not going to give him that. You're
not going to give him a 2 or 3 year deal.
Not a chance.
Okay.
Not a chance.
All right.
The guy that we're other talking about, Maroon, who I was mentioning to you, I give him a chance more. He's a local kid. He brings local fans more interested in the ball game. He sort of does the same thing as Nash. I think he's got maybe Nash has got long-term better numbers, but Maroon's sort of caught up to that, and you might be able to get him for 2 or 3 years to control the front of the net and that, and bring a local interest to the ball game. The guy in Ottawa that Jamie started, Huffman, he's a guy that he's a long-term deal too, because you got those play, he would help you out, but if you bring him in, you're gonna, you know, it shores up more, and your three lines are going to be a lot more scoring coming from the three lines. But my look that I look at is I'm looking at a defenseman. Or a forward, sorry, that can control the front of the net, the two guys we're talking about. Maroon would be my pick if I'm on the GM table, if I can get him, because I think he's going to cost me less. I think they're going to ask a lot for Nash. I wouldn't give a lot for Nash because I don't think the Blues – go back to the old-style hockey, or not old-style, the old-time hockey when they did this. So when these guys come at the deadline and all this trading went on, what was the one thing that everybody wanted when they were doing that trade deadline? What was the one thing back in the day that everybody wanted?
Everybody wanted a defenseman or a goal scorer.
But what else did they want?
Toughness.
They wanted championships. Guys that have been there before.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know, guys that have gone the distance and won the ring. So
yeah, we did that for years though, and it never worked.
I'm
for
just
us.
Saying though, but that's I'm talking to you. Old school. That's what you wanted. But you don't go out like what Keenan did and bring 900 of them in.
I was like, Jesus Christ, he brought in 100 Stanley Cups and we couldn't get it done. That's the Tekin and Glenn Anderson. I mean, they were rolling through the door.
Yeah, and those guys were old and down the road. Sure. But he went on a different mentality, and you know, it worked for him for the Rangers. But where I'm going is. Bring a guy in. If you're going to do that, find a guy. Maybe if there's one Tolan out there that's won a championship and he can walk down that road, either, you know. But he has to bring something to you. And that type of player that I'm telling you about is like the guy they got sitting up in the press box that's in their ought. You know, like that type of player. Bring some enthusiasm to the group. And if you could sit on the third line and do something like that.
But doesn't Maroon do that?
Maroon does it to an extent, but he doesn't. Maroon's not a shit disturber like Ott was. He's not that.
But he could be. Doesn't he?
I don't think that's his mentality to fully be a shit. You know, he's a guy that's going to control the front of the net. He's going to get in the corners. He's going to use his size. He's going to stick up for his teammates. On it, but he's not running around causing a lot of shit. He's not doing that. He's never
been
that way.
Except for the last thing, haven't you been saying we need everything you just mentioned for 3 months?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I have.
And he would be a guy that I would think, to your point, obviously the asking price for Pat Maroon will not be what it is for either Hoffman or Nash, right?
Okay. I agree.
So, and I would think he makes a lot of sense to say, hey, if it goes well, especially,
yeah.
How about signing a 3-year deal with us?
Plus, he's a local kid. You know, he's sitting there for you. So it's just that's where I would go. I don't think from where the Blues are right now, because they got draft picks, they got youth that's coming up the ladder here. They got guys that are you're in the top 10 right now. You're close. You know, you're close. You're real close. So you're not going to go blow the damn thing up, obviously. You're looking to add a piece or two. That's it. So you basically got your top two lines set. You know, you're sitting there with your top two lines. You're trying to bring someone in that can help you on the power play a little bit, maybe get in front of the net and control the front of the net, get throwing up there to control the corners in a big game when you're playing teams like Nashville and that, where size is going to come into play no matter what anybody says. You know, Nashville's going down that road, and I think you're going to have to go through there eventually to get to where you want to go. So you're going to need a little meat in this game, and I think Maroon brings that to it. I think he's got more of a hunger. If he comes to St. Louis, he's going to have a little more hunger in the belly than the other guy coming.
Well, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I'm seeing, you know, I'm seeing rumors. You know, I just found a new one here that, you know, the Blues are looking at possibly moving Schmaltz, and that's the rumored name in a deal for Tavares. And I mean, Schmaltz plus, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
Schmaltz plus the whole goddamn rest of the team.
You know, but at the end of the day, so really at the end of the day, GM Kimball loves a guy like Maroon for this team.
That's all I would add to it right now. A guy that can play on possibly your top two lines if something goes haywire, that can bring some spunk to the team, can control the front of the net. And I'm still not sold. Like I've told you before, I still think that they need a top four defenseman yet. I don't think I'm sold on that yet.
Well, again, that's why we have you and Jamie in here. You guys have played at the highest level. You know what it takes. I mean, you've played in playoff series. I we're going to talk a little bit as we get a little bit closer to the playoffs, but what I really want you and Jamie to do, and I think this would be a great episode, and we'll tease
don't
it a
give me
bit.
Homework because I never
no
do
no 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 homework
yeah,
no
don't
no
do
you,
that nonsense.
You won't have to have any homework. This is all hey it's all right up here, bud. And according to Jamie, and I'm pointing to my head, according to Jamie, you got a lot of room up there, so you should have a lot of memories.
Yeah, yours is big too, big boy.
Yeah, I got the smallest one in the room, bud. With you two in the room, are you kidding? You're crazy.
Jamie's like a half chewed caramel, though. It goes every which way. See, at least mine's proportion,
well,
right?
The what I think our listeners would really be intrigued by is hearing from both of you guys how different the playoffs are than a regular season game.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard you guys talk a little bit about it. See, I don't think fans understand the difference in just simple changes within all games, and that being, like, for instance, you know, like in baseball. Well, I don't understand. No, the guy did this, guy did that. Well, let me tell you why he's batting eighth. You want to move him up and bat in second? It's a little bit different ball game up there. You know, yep. People are like, I don't know, what's the difference? You get up there, well, yep. Let me tell you something. I promise you, playoff hockey in the NHL is different than regular season hockey in the NHL. Yep. You've referenced it numerous times, and I think our listeners would be intrigued by exactly what you mean by that. And as we get a little bit closer to the playoffs, I think that'd be really cool to hear from you guys on that. So, see, no homework. You already know the answers to these questions.
You do, because it's all, you know what, and playoffs is as any sport that you follow, it could one play could turn a series. And that's a fact, and that's just the way.
Well, you've seen it. I mean, you've been a part of it.
It happens.
I mean, it's,
so,
you know, the best teams don't always win,
nope.
You know. So it's an interesting thing. But, hey.
Not the best teams, the most talented teams.
The most talented teams don't always win. The best team does win.
Yeah,
Whoever's the best does win. That
is
true.
At the time does win.
Yeah, that's a great point. Way to correct me. See, one of you guys has to be here to correct me, and if it's not him, it's you.
Yeah,
it's fine. I can handle it.
When you get the smart one in the room, that helps you out a lot.
Oh, boy. Here we go. I told him, you heard on there, man. I thought it was the first time we were going to have to put up the imaginary Les Nessman wall.
I think me and him are going to get there a little bit more often, because I think we got different versions of this team where it's going, and Jamie's in a different spot here, and people have to understand that he works with them, and he's closer to the vest than I am. I'm like a lot of people now. I'm not down there. I don't get the rumors going on. I'm not the inside stuff. I just look from afar. I watch through a TV screen like all the fans, but I have played the game. I've been there. I can tell what shit's doing. So that's where I like to come at it with Jamie, because he says this, and I don't always agree with it. And usually when you talk the game as hockey, Chromes, the actual how it goes on and what happens, me and him are not going to be we're going to be right on money. We're going to be right on cue all the time. But I think with how the Blues teams and how certain players are, his likes to a player and my likes to, like, he likes the defenseman. I don't like the defenseman at all. I don't think we're fully there yet. And it's just a difference of opinion that we have. And it's not a big difference. I'm talking one player, and you know, that's and forward, I think we're both on the same side. We need a top six guy, but I think when you talk to him, he needs a little size to the game, I believe. And so we're not far off, but we have a little difference of each player and where they get to. But he's closer to it. I'm farther away. I'm like a fan sitting out there now and watching it. And, you know, I just do it from my previous hockey experience and that, and I just try to bring that to the table.
Well, again, there's no doubt, you know, I hate to say this, but, you know, things come across sometimes as if you didn't play the game, it's a little hard to understand it at that level. You didn't have to play at that level to love the game, to appreciate the game, to learn about the game and do all that stuff. It's just different. It just is. And it's not – people take that all the time in every sport whenever you say that. They take it so, like, insulting. It's not insulting. It's just real.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't – you cannot – I'm sorry. I don't care. You cannot do this thing sitting behind a desk with numbers and books.
And that goes to, you know, you're talking to Tavares, that you're jumping on the computer here right now and you're finding all these trades. With this way the media works now, if you're a Twitter person and you got four followers in your damn life, all of a sudden you're going to throw that out there and people are going to start running to it and start having an argument on Twitter with you because the little guy gets bigger, than, you know what I mean? So, and then all of a sudden he gets a bunch of people following him. That's how people use it. They're not coming with actual knowledge. And if you get a guy on there that's been around the hockey that reports on it on a regular basis and they're throwing something out there, take that with a grain of salt. At least it's got something. They're in an area they can do it, but not just some guy on Twitter just throwing shit out there. They don't know nothing.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, a lot of people make a living just throwing stuff out there.
Exactly.
That's just kind of how it is. But we appreciate you guys. The listeners, you know, the number one compliment we get from our listeners about you guys are you're very real. And not to rip on the other guys and what they do, you know, the guys in the media. And like you said, the guys that are attached to the Blues, you know, they're on, like, you hear some honest stuff come from them guys too.
For sure.
Like, you know, Kelly and Darren are, you know, they're pretty honest. I mean, I think people think Darren's a little bit of a homer, but Kelly will say some things, but they're in a tough spot too.
For sure.
And I've always said this to people, quit wanting those guys to be on the rip bandwagon. They're not. They're not going to sit there and bury it. They're just not.
No.
And you wouldn't either.
No.
If you were in their job and you can sit here and with your chest puffed out and your big head on your computer typing on your phone.
Why do you go there again?
What's that?
The big head part. Why'd you do that?
Oh, again? No. I'm talking about
that. You're looking at me and saying
that's because I'm talking to you. But my point is, you can do all that stuff from your computer, your phone. But if I don't care who you are out there. Number one, if you held that job, you wouldn't. And it isn't. Oh yes, I would because I'm real. It isn't about that. I guarantee you, what it would be is, and this is to be completely honest. You talk about the role I play in this, which is nothing compared to your two. Just with this and the Cardinals show, I have a new appreciation for it because I always say you don't know until you do know. So I thought I knew a lot of shit that I was completely way off on because having the opportunity to be around people that have played the game, that understand the game and know the game, and, you know, if you just shut up for a little while, which is sometimes hard for me to do, and open your ears and open your mind, you'll realize, okay, now this makes sense. I may not even still agree with it because I think that's where you're at. I don't agree with all this, but I understand it sometimes.
When you go to Chaser Panger and Bernie Federko and all these guys that cover the sport, Curbs and all these guys that are doing this, they're being paid, and they're being paid to cover the Blues. They're bringing it out there. And if it shows homers, yeah, of course it's got to be because everyone does that. You go back in the old days when Derek Sanderson, these guys, I played in Boston, you know, a Boston Bruin guy would never lose a fight when Derek was there. And that was the homer he was given, but understand, people, if you think you're going to call it straight down the line, you got to put food on the table for your family at some point in time. And if you're going to cover the Blues and you're not going to be a little bit biased on that side, I'm pretty sure you're not going to be covering, you're not feeding your family with Blues money pretty soon. So you know what I mean? That's common sense.
And again, I have heard the people involved with the Blues be critical enough to know that the Blues have never went to them and said, don't be critical at all.
But it's smart.
It's a respect thing too.
I understand. I'm a guy, and I put my foot in my mouth many times in my life, I'll stand by whatever I do in my life. I always have, and if I don't like something, I can say it. I can say it from over here. The Blues got nothing to me. I don't owe them nothing. They don't owe me nothing. So I can say whatever I want. But if you're trying to run a livelihood and you're running an occupation like what Rivs is doing, you're with Synergy in that, these are Blues fans that he's trying to get to. So if you're going to sit in here and badmouth them on a regular basis that I could do and he can't do because That's his livelihood. The Blues fans want to hear, they don't want to hear negative shit all the time. They're not there for that.
Well, and I'll tell you another thing. The other thing I think fans appreciate about you two guys is there's a big difference between running your mouth and really talking, and I can't believe I'm about to say this word when it comes to your nerves, but talking elegantly about the sport itself, how it's played and how it's performed.
Yeah.
And basically all you guys are doing is say, listen, neither one of you guys at any juncture probably played this game without criticism.
For sure.
So at some juncture when you were playing, there was somebody sitting in a room saying, this damn Kimball needs to get it going. And why, you know, he should have grabbed so-and-so. I said, somebody's done that to you.
Yep.
And I'm sure that you probably at the time may have even thought, hey, buddy, let me tell you something. But then you look back and go, you know, hey, whatever, I get it. It's his job. He's critiquing me, whatever. That's part of it. And when you guys play, you know you sign up for it, but you're also human.
Yep.
We've seen players get frustrated with guys calling them out and they didn't feel it was – that's life.
That's life.
That is life.
You know what? You can say what if you know about the game and you deal with it. I'll take an honest opinion all the time, but there has to be like I do. When I say about players in here, I don't owe them nothing, and I'm just telling you what I see. But I have a respect for the game still. It's not that I hate the person. I think he could be better at what he does, or he could do something different. That's my opinion. But I still respect the game. These guys that are playing the National Hockey League, always remember there's only a very, very minimal that are playing at this level. It's hard to get to this level. It really is.
And I've heard both of you say that you could handle the criticism from anybody that was there.
Yeah.
If they're going to show up every day, ask questions.
I can handle criticism, Chromes. If you sat there and you said something to me, if it was true, and if it's if you sat there and said that you weren't a great skater, Darren Kimball, I'd sit there and go, I get it. I understand that. So I can take criticism, but don't sit there and say, you weren't a tough guy, Darren, because then I say, well, what the fuck are you watching? You know what I mean? So as long as your criticism is honest and you're sitting there and you're not trying to be a smartass and you're actually having a conversation with someone, say, you know, you weren't the best of skaters or whatever, I get that. I can live with that because I'm not going to – as long as you're real with me, I'm good with anything.
Well, I've heard you guys mention a couple guys by name that – used to like to criticize and never show up down at the rink.
Yeah.
Some local media guys that are still in the media here in St. Louis that I think still do the same.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you don't do that. You got to know what you're talking about and just be real about it. And, you know, I sit back. Jamie's closer to the situation than I am now, but I sit back from afar, and I'm just like every fan sitting there looking through the thing. But I played the game. I've been on the bus trips. I've been in the locker rooms. I've done that. And that's I'm just bringing you that to what I live.
Right.
I'm not trying to make shit up and make it sound fantastic. I'm just telling you what real is.
Yeah, and that's why our fans really like you guys.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. And I appreciate you guys. I know we do. Everybody here at Lineup Media loves it when you guys come in because you keep it real. You're regular guy. You guys prove the theory that hockey guys – no disrespect to the other sports, but you guys, man, you're very real. There's no, and I've met a lot of guys in other sports that are the same way, and so I'm not knocking the other sports.
For sure.
But you guys personify what most people believe hockey players to be, so we appreciate you. I know our fans do as well. Hey, want to thank, obviously, Darren Kimball as he comes in each and every week. And, of course, you heard from Jamie Rivers, who we did the interview with yesterday because he could not be in studio today. We do want to remind you to make sure you check out all of our social media partners that have helped the show grow leaps and bounds. We couldn't do it without them. The great Facebook pages, starting with our friend and yours, Mick Light, over at Art City Sports. You know, Jamie's friend over there, this guy covers a lot of stuff and does a great job. He's built quite a website and quite an energy for himself here in St. Louis. Make sure you check it out, Art City Sports. St. Louis Blues hockey memes, of course. We appreciate Dennis, everything he does. You can hear his segment here every Monday live from Minner Arena. St. Louis Blues Fan Unite and our newest Everything STL Sports. Thank you, guys. We appreciate you and your support. Don't forget to check us out at bluesnhlpodcast.com. Subscribe to the show through there. Do your shopping at Amazon. Don't forget to find us on Twitter at NHL Show, at STL Blues Podcast. Find us on Facebook. That's our big ask. Type in Blues NHL Podcast. Like the page. Invite all your friends to like it as well. We'd appreciate it. One more shout out to our good friends and yours, Randy and Stephanie Green with the Innovated Companies. That's InnovatedCompanies.com. Whether it's heating and cooling, electric, and of course construction, residential, commercial, industrial, anything you need, they love to help you with the planning. They'll get you where you need to go. They'll get it done right. And if it's not right, they'll make it right. That's what I appreciate about a second-generation craftsman. He takes it very serious, guys. I promise you, when it comes to Randy Green, the one thing you can guarantee, his word is oak. I promise you that. Great man. Tommy Brown Tax Resolutions. Don't forget, he's working on that website, but you can hear him here on Mondays. As soon as he gets that thing corrected, you'll be able to do that. But this time of year, Tommy Brown is your man, especially if you own a business. Let him help you help yourself. SynergyHockeySkills.com, and of course, the great Nelson family, NelsonLandServices.com. Couldn't do the show without all of our partners. Thank you so much.
For the Blues NHL Podcast, I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. I leave you with a Let's Go Blues.
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.